to let what we do go. I mean, we gather because we want to be with those who are near and dear. We gather to be a witness. We gather to worship God. But I've come to believe that in our gathering, perhaps in this day and age, for me, there are two things that are interrelated that I think need to be paramount in our witness. And one of them is our care for creation, and the other is the care for each other. It's not that those were absent, but if the church isn't speaking out about those, who is? Who is? We can't depend upon civic organizations. We can't depend upon other groups. And this is at the core of who we are. It's in our DNA. And we need to sing about it. One of the things that I went through a few weeks ago, this list of our classic hymns that were the most popular or most used from a ecumenical source, and I pointed out a little thing that said all but about one of them were directed to God. Hardly any of those popular ones or best used ones in the historical tradition were directed at each other. And we have this problem here. You know this particular passage well. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So they're shaking their heads. Good, good, he's got that down. We really appreciate it. But Jesus didn't stop there. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and all your strength." But then he started to go meddling. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment. I'm afraid, and I'm speaking very broadly here, the church loves the first one, but the church is a little weak on the second one. It's weak about singing about it, because we're going to sing this morning, some of it is painful. Some of it challenges us, and it's hard to put that in our voices and in our bodies. But I think the second wasn't an option. It was the flip side of the same coin, and I'll go as far as to say that I'm not sure you're doing the first unless you do the second. And it's demonstrable. Just in case you needed more scripture, 1 John 4:20, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whomever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." I'd love to go to the message then just for a little bit of application here. If anyone boasts, "I love God," and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he's a liar. If she won't love the person she can see, how can she love the God whom she can't see? The commandment we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to do both of them. Love them both. And then the Luke passage, love your enemies. I'll skip down to the red here. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice a servant life. No more tit-for-tat stuff. Live generously. Can you imagine on a global scale or on a national scale, if we did this no more tit-for-tat stuff, what our society might be like? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying I do it. I get people press my buttons, you know, not you, but people press my buttons and I have a tendency to want to push back. So I'm going to tell you a story. This is a story that Tom and I share. We were in different locations in the crowd, so our remembrances may be a little bit different. But that's the way these kind of things are. I believe it was May of 1986. And we were teaching at Southeastern Seminary. At that time, a town of about 6,000. Kind of a classic southern town. In some ways, quite beautiful. The birthplace of Wake Forest College, later university. Southeastern Seminary, and it was a lovely place to raise kids. But it was also typical in that there was a railroad tracks and there were people who lived on other sides of the tracks. We got a word, I don't remember exactly, but it was late in the semester that there had been given permission for a KKK procession down the main street of town. And my recollection is that we got together. I know that Tom and I and some others said, "What are we going to do about this?" And my recollection is that we said, well, we're going to come and we're going to have a silent protest. And we're going to, you know, not respond in that kind of way. So it was, as I recall, a beautiful May morning. And then this macabre scene. There was a Jeep, Army Fatigues, weapons, I don't know if they were loaded or not, were there. And then the Grand Poobah, his name was Glenn Miller, which was sort of a funny thing because we had a faculty member named Glenn Miller, and was there. But it was a drum cadence, and it was bizarre. It was hate incarnate for me. And I was standing, up the main street just a bit. And then as the procession came down the street, as I recall, there were some high school kids who went out and started to kind of cheer them on. And some of the seminary students, you know, were taken back by this because we had tried to get some students there. And they started to pull the kids back, and it looked like we were going to have a fracas, just what the press would want. And I'm sitting there. I mean, I'm a little young for the, you know, the Martin Luther King marches and things like that. And I don't know that I would have been involved or not as a white guy in Iowa, what I would have been doing at that time. But by the time I got to Southeastern, you know, we were aware of these things much more. You know, 1986, I mean, that wasn't but 20-some years from the Greensboro Four. The list goes on of what we could talk about there. And so all of a sudden, this guy, this preacher, whispers in my ear. I'd met him a couple of times. And he says, "Mike, help me sing." Huh? What are you talking about? And I mean, usually singing is no problem, but my voice, my throat was just frozen. Guy's name was Bill Finlater. Bill had been on quite a few marches in his day. And he started singing with this kind of quaky, but I thought really beautiful voice. "We shall overcome." Oh, okay. Little by little, I found my voice, started singing, and it spread. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but I would say within 60 to 90 seconds, two things happened. One was, it seemed like all the struggling stopped. And the second was, we just kind of closed ranks behind the little procession and sang them out of town. I call it an exorcism. And that has stuck with me as a formative moment in what singing does. And I'm disturbed these days because we're good at taunts, but we've lost our voice in these public witnesses. We've lost our voice. We yell at each other, but we don't use our voice. And I think there's a qualitative difference in what can happen in terms of witness in that. I'm reminded, I have a student right now in my doctoral program who's from Hong Kong, and she's been very concerned and done a little marching in some of the situations there. And I remember back in June, when a group was the publicity was, "Sing hallelujah to the Lord." Now, they've kind of lost their singing voice right now, but that was quite a powerful witness from a Christian community in Hong Kong. So we're going to push this a little bit this morning. I want to start with a song we're going to sing in worship later. So you are our practice group. You're the choir that's going to help us on this. And this is a new version of a very old text, goes back at least 1,000 years, a Latin text, Ubi Caritas et Amor, Ubi Caritas Deus Ibi Est, where there is charity and love, God is there. And so this is a hymn that expands that. So we're going to give a little bit of a try. Thank you. And love prevail, there God is ever found.
brought here together by Christ's love. Love are we thus bound. Let us recall that in our midst is God's only Son. As members of each body join, in Him we are made one. Let strife among us be unknown, let all contention cease. Be God's the glory that we seek, be Christ our only peace. Let us forgive each other's faults, as we our faults confess, that we may love each other well, Christian holiness. Love can exclude no race or creed, if honored be God's name. Our common life embraces all, whose maker is the same. Ubi caritas et amor, ubi caritas Deusi, ubi carito, ubi caritas et amor, ubi caritas Deusi. You're doing well. Let's do it again. Ubi caritas et om. Your love, O Jesus Christ, has gathered us together. Ubi caritas et om. Let us love one another as Christ has loved us.
Beautiful. You'll do just fine this morning. Thank you for leading out on that. Why should we sing it in Latin? First of all, it's really beautiful. The singing translation's all right, but it just doesn't have the same. And these are words that have been sung for probably at least 1,200 years. There's a connection. I love this, but I think we need to listen to some more recent voices because they live in our ear. Remember, I talked about what is our stanza in the great hymn of the church? Well, we're focusing on that especially today. What is it about our time and our space that causes people to compose songs that speak specifically in language and in thought and theology to our era? Here's one from Great Britain, an IT guy who just loves to write hymns, and kind of an interesting one. Imagine us singing this in church. In an age of twisted values, we have lost the truth we need. In sophisticated language, we have justified our greed. By our struggle for possessions, we have robbed the poor and weak. Hear our cry and heal our nation, your forgiveness, Lord, we... Ouch. Ouch. Now, I've heard your prayers, and you pray about this stuff. The pastor prays about this stuff, our associate during the services. This is nothing new, but to put it in our voices is another level of commitment. To put it in our voices is another level of commitment. By the way, I forgot to mention one thing in Ubi Caritas. We're singing that in the second hymn this morning. And in many Christian traditions, when you have communion, you have a passing of the peace. And the tradition is, of course, you cannot go to the table unless you're at peace with your neighbor. So we're having a sung passing of the peace this morning in that particular tradition by the first song we sang. We have built discrimination in our prejudice and fear. Hatred swiftly turns to cruelty if we hold resentments dear. For communities divided by the walls of class and race, hear our cry and heal our nation. Show us, Lord, your love and grace. Almost 25 years ago, but I think it seems a little relevant. When our families are broken, when our homes are full of strife, when our children are bewildered, when they lose way in life, when we fail to give the aged all the care we know they need, hear our cry and heal our nation. Help us show more love, we plead. Oftentimes in a hymn like this, the last stanza is actually a prayer. You'll notice the imperative verbs. Turn us from our willful wandering. Give us truth. Come to cleanse us. Make us new. Hear our cry. Heal our nation. So we're actually in a posture of a petition prayer. Let's sing it.
We who hear your word so often choose so rarely to obey. Turn us from our willful wandering, give us truth to light our way. In the power of your Spirit, come to cleanse us, make us new. Hear our cry and heal our nation, till our nation honors you.
Now, I think you've heard me. I'm not saying give up hymns about love of God. But you've heard from this pulpit about afflicting and loving. Love the afflicted and afflict those that need to be afflicted. Something, that version of that. And so I think maybe one of our hymns each Sunday should be afflicting us. I'm speaking in any congregation now. We need a little more affliction. We need to walk away saying we felt we were close to the people of God. We felt we were close to God, but we also felt, ouch. And I think we need to put it in our voices and not have it just spoken for us. I want to touch a few other areas with some hymns. Last week we sang the hymn about persistent pain. This is the same author, Ruth Duck. And she approaches a topic that, I guess it's time to turn it over to you here. Don't mess it up or I'll give it to Kathy. So, you're going to play this one, aren't you? Are you playing this one? Yeah, okay, good. So, I think the hymn speaks for itself. Go ahead. Listen to the first stanza.
Sacred the body God has created, temple of spirit that dwells deep inside. Cherish each person, nurture relation, treat flesh as holy that love may.
Now, I don't know how you grew up, but this hymn wouldn't have flown in the 1950s and 1960s. We just thought bodies were pretty evil. And this is a much more holistic part of the body, is loving each other. We have some strange fourth century theology that we carry on about, you know, not the whole person. And so I think this is definitely a voice for us. Let's see how she develops it.
Bodies are varied, made in all sizes, pale, full of color, both fragile and strong. Holy the difference, gift of the Maker, so let each honor each story and song.
And so Third stanza, remember I've told you about third stanzas. This is where she really goes to meddling and something that you wouldn't have heard about in earlier stanza of the church's song.
Love respects persons, bodies, and boundaries. Love does not batter, neglect, or abuse. Love touches gently, never coercing. Love leaves the other with power to...
I don't know how many times I've used this, but I watch people, and some people stop singing on that stanza. It's just a little too close to home. Some people have been there. And if we aren't acknowledging that part of the pain of people, we're not being the church fully.
Holy of holies, God ever loving, make us your temples and dwell all we do. May we be careful, tender, and caring, so may our bodies give honor to you.
Well, I come again to our friend we've had. I love her hymns, so we tend to sing quite a number of them here. And very scriptural, who is my mother, who is my brother? You recognize the passage is listed on your sheet there. And let's go ahead and do this and listen. Just listen to this first stanza.
Who is my mother? Who is my brother? All those who gather around Jesus Christ. Spirit-blown people born from the gospel sit at the table around Jesus Christ.
I love this second stanza. This is a first-class writer. Whoever thought of rhyming stigmas with enigmas? Now that is a 21st century. Oh, that is so good, just on a poetic front, let alone what it says. Give it a try if you like.
Differently abled, differently labeled, wide in the circle around Jesus Christ. Crutches and stigmas, cultures, enigmas, all come together around Jesus Christ. Love will relate us, color or status can't separate us around Jesus Christ. Family failings, human derailing, all are accepted around Jesus Christ. Bound by one vision, met for one mission, we claim each other around Jesus Christ.
And then Shirley has a wonderful way of coming back around like a good sermon and bringing it home.
Here is my mother. Here is my brother, kindred in spirit through Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I put that in my key. I'm a little bit high there, but it's good for you. Okay. Well, what page is that? So, we're going to listen to a little Spanish. Why should we hear some Spanish? I think there's several reasons. First of all, these days it's a prophetic act for an Anglo, primarily Anglo church to do. And I'm into prophetic acts. Second, for some people it's an act of solidarity. And that's what we're involved in the church, is solidarity. But third, it places people like us, maybe, I don't want to speak for all of you, but like me and some others, in a situation of vulnerability. We don't feel as competent. If there's one thing that people like myself love is to be competent. But you know, I look at the biblical witness, and I think in many, many, maybe most cases, God seems to work through people in their vulnerability. Moses, Saul that became Paul, Mary. God doesn't seem to work through the powerful and the competent and the confident. So maybe we need to identify with the most vulnerable. Flip it, yeah. Just listen.
Cuando el pobre nada tiene y un reparte, cuando un hombre pasa sed y agua no está, cuando el débil a su hermano fortalece, va Dios mismo en nuestro mismo caminar. Va Dios mismo en nuestro mismo caminar.
Sing if you like.
When the poor ones who have nothing share with strangers, when the thirsty water give unto us all, when the crippled in their weakness strengthen others, then we know that God still goes that road with us. Then we know that God still goes that road with us. When at last all those who suffer find their comfort, when they hope even hope seems hopelessness, when we love though hate at times seems all around us, then we know that God still goes that road with us. Then we know that God still goes that road with us. When our homes are filled with goodness in abundance, when we learn to make peace instead of war, when each stranger that we meet is called a neighbor, then we go that God still goes that road with us. Then we go that God still goes that road with us. Va Dios mismo en nuestro mismo caminar. Va Dios mismo en nuestro mismo caminar.
Well, I'm not letting you off the hook yet. We did a couple of hymns last week that gave us some really interesting theology about how to approach people in other contexts. And we don't sing a lot of the old mission hymns we used to sing now because they labeled everyone different than us as heathens and a bunch of other stuff that I really don't want to come out of my mouth. And we've let a lot of those, they had a side, they had a lot of cultural imperialism. It wasn't that mission work was bad, it's just the spirit we went about it. It was a little bit kind of neo-crusades. We live in a different world. Our constituency is different. I don't know yet how to use this hymn in worship. I think it would need to have a sermon that led into it. But I want you just to listen a little bit, because this tune's a little bit tricky.
In star and crescent, wheel and flame, in rugged cross and empty tomb, we image forth one matchless name, one holy matrix, fount, and womb. Though different cultures, tribes, and lands use lenses ground to differing sight, each color of the prism's bands refract from one all dazzling light. In burning incense, tithing gifts, in breaking bread and pouring wine, each act of ardent worship lifts our human hearts to love divine. In Buddhist chant and Muslim prayer, in shofar drum and sacred song, the music thankful spirit share gives praise in voices millions.
I love the way you join in. Thank you. This is a little more real for me because of the privileges I've had. I think of being in South India for a couple of months, where I would go to worship in a Dalit, lowest level, seminary, and hear Christian songs in various Indian, especially Tamil Nadu. Walk outside and hear the local Hindu festival with its music, and then hear the Muslim call to worship, all within an hour. I remember being in Pakistan, where it seemed like where I was staying, there was a symphony of imams at the times of the day, all vying for who had the loudest loudspeaker and who could have the call to prayer. The list goes on. And so it changes you to be a little bit in those environments. Let's see where she takes us at the end. With varied hopes and dreams and creeds, all tiles in one mosaic whole, we serve our God in faithful deeds on pathways to one common goal. No Jew or Gentile, slave or free, no male or female is set apart, but all are one as family, held close within our Maker's heart. Now this hymn and the two I did last week don't appear in hymnals. I think it's kind of a shame, because whether we sing it or not, a hymnal is a witness of what we might become, what we might become. I think they missed the boat by not including one like this. So we just have to put it in ourselves. Imagine what it means for a Christian congregation to sing after many of the events we've been through, where people are burning mosques or are putting hate messages on mosques or synagogues. We just can't. We have to put it in our voices. We can't let just someone pray for us. We got to pray for it ourselves in how we sing. Continue. Okay, I decided to lighten up just a little bit. Micah 6:8. And so you're going to hear Bob like you've never heard him this morning on this. This is great. I'm ready. You want to start to swing a little bit, that's all right. To act with justice, we are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another and to walk humbly. Sing along if you want to in the first stanza. Come live in the light. Shine with the joy and the love of the Lord. We are called to be light for the kingdom, to live in the freedom of the city of God. We are called to act with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another, to walk humbly with God. Come, open your heart. Show your mercy to all those in fear. We are called to be hope for the hopeless, so hatred and violence will be no more. We are called to act with justice. We are called. Serve another.
and walk humbly with God. Sing, sing a new song. Sing that great day when all will be one. God will reign and we'll walk with each other as sisters and brothers, united by love. We are called to act with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another, to walk humbly with God.
Bravo. Now, a few of you in this room are maybe close to my age, and you may not admit it, but we grew up with Kingston Trio, Peter, Paul, and Mary. I mean, those songs really felt good. I don't want the old gospel songs sung at my funeral. I want Peter, Paul, and Mary. And I mean, Mary did wonderful things with the tambourine. I really miss her. This has a little bit of that flavor, but look at it. If we can't imagine what that last stanza says, then it's not going to happen. Thy kingdom come doesn't mean someday in the future, doesn't mean when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. I'm not excluding that. It means, can we imagine it now? Is there a glimpse of it now? And maybe it's not widespread, but let us rejoice every time we see a little crack in the wall of hostility, the dividing wall of hostility in Ephesians. Let us rejoice every time a little light shines through the crack in that wall. That's what we got to do. It isn't happening very much, but we got to rejoice in it. And we got to imagine what it would be like. And as you would expect from me, we got to sing ourselves into it. Okay, now that I let you off the hook, we're going to go back on. Shirley Murray, I got to come back to her. And this is a theme song for many places. Little by little, you're going to learn the refrain, but I want you just to listen to the stanzas. This was, as your song sheet, or your sheet mentions, was inspired by the Declaration of Human Rights in 1948, a process led by the newly formed United Nations under the guidance of Eleanor Roosevelt, who was chair of the committee. And she took no prisoners. That document is still as valid as it was, and it's not been fulfilled yet. Quite prophetic. So this hymn was inspired by that document. For everyone born, a place at the table. For everyone born, sweet clean water and bread. A shelter, a space, a safe place for growing. For everyone born, a star overhead. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice. Justice and joy. So now she gets specific. What do we mean by everyone born? For woman and man, a place at the table, revising the roles, deciding the share, with wisdom and grace, dividing the power. For woman and man, a system that's fair. Hum along if you like. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice, justice and joy. For young and for old, a place at the table, a voice to be heard, a part in the song. In the hands of a child, in hands that are wrinkled,
For young and for old, the right to belong. Let's go to the next stanza. She got a little bit of flack on this one. I think you'll see why. For just and unjust, a place at the table. Abuser abused with need to forgive. In anger and hurt, a mindset of mercy. For just and unjust, a new way to live. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice. Justice and joy. Stanza she just added a few years ago. For gay and for straight, a place at the table. A covenant shared, a welcoming place. A rainbow of race and gender and color. For gay and for straight, the chalice of grace. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice, justice and joy. For everyone born, a place at the table. To live without fear and simply to be. To work, to speak out, to witness and worship. For everyone born, the right to be free. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice, justice and joy, justice and joy. Justice and joy.
It's a sermon. I don't need to add anything else to it. I think it's like so many of Shirley's hymns. Once you've sung one of them, it's just kind of time to go home. Because there's not a whole lot more that can be said except to bless us and to go do likewise. But I'm not quite done yet. So I've started to think a little bit more about what it means to move outside of our buildings into the community. What does it mean to be a witness in the street? Let's be honest, they're not looking at our churches anymore. I'm speaking quite broadly. They're not coming in for our programs like they used to. They're not doing X, Y, and Z. I run a doctoral program now for church musicians, and one of the major premises is, how can we be much more entrepreneurial? How can we take our witness outside the building into the community and establish a foothold there and then build a relationship between the two? I look around and I see Paul and some others. We weren't trained that way. We were trained to establish a kingdom in the building. And that was fine. It worked. But the church is going to be much more porous now. So a few songs for the street. Listen. Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours. Victory is ours through him who loved us. Victory is ours. Victory is ours through him who loved us. I'll sing a line and you sing it back to me. Goodness is stronger than evil. Good. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death.
Victory is ours, victory is ours, victory is ours, through him who loved us. Victory is ours, victory is ours, through him who loved. Goodness is stronger than evil, love is stronger than hate, light is stronger than darkness, life is stronger than death. Victory is ours, victory is ours, through him who loved us. Oh, victory is ours, victory is ours, through him who loved.
Now, I've been really nice for 10 sessions, but you're going to find the real Michael Hahn now. If you are able, please rise. Don't do anything that's going to hurt. On the other hand, find some way to embody this song, whether it's clapping, tapping your toes, or heaven forbid, swaying slightly. As long as you don't lift your feet, it's not dancing. But this is a song to be embodied. Goodness is stronger than goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours. Victory is ours through him who loved. Victory is ours. Victory is ours through him who loved. You're doing well. Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours. Victory is ours through him who loved us. Victory is ours. Victory is ours through him who loved us.
Beautiful. I threw in a little bit of cross rhythm there. Forgive me, but that was quite good. We're ready to go to the street. Have a seat. We can walk out of the church singing that this morning, wake up the neighborhood.
Now, I realize that I'm asking a lot, because if you sway, clap hands and sing, that's three things at once. My standards, it's kind of like a wait, don't tell me, two out of three. I'll take any of those particular ones there. But there's a power to a song like that. Those opposites put side by side, not so many words, but let it just sink in. What does it mean? Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Sometimes our message in the street needs to be very succinct to be powerful. You know, I love the classic hymns, but we're probably not going to sing, "Oh God, our help in ages past," in the middle of a rally. We have to have some other kind of songs that we use. Speaking of new songs, this is one that a friend sent to me. Lead with Love. I've never met this woman, Melanie DeMore, African-American song leader and activist who is just really fun. But she just put this on a YouTube. I've got the site on your list there. You might want to look it up. If you just put Lead with Love and DeMore, it'll show up on YouTube. So,
okay, Ken, I need a professional. Okay.
You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with good. You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead.
Okay, we're downtown Richmond. Oh, I don't know, maybe around 5th and Main or someplace like that downtown. And we decided to bear witness. And so in that kind of response, you got to have usually a leader that helps you kind of galvanize it a little bit. And I volunteer. So I'm going to sing a phrase and you sing it back to me. Okay, here we go. You got to put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead. Listen. Don't give up hope. You're not alone. God will take, don't give up hope. God will take us home. You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Lift up your eyes. Don't you despair. Look to the hills, for God is there. You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. I know you're scared, and I'm scared too. God's here with us, and God's here with you. You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Men, lead with love. Lead with love. Keep that going. Oh, a few voices in the middle. Lead with love. Lead with love. Keep going now. Lead. And if you want some that might live dangerous, lead with love. Don't give up, children. Don't give up. If you want to sing that, don't give up, children. Don't give up. And lead. Don't give up, children. Don't give up. You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. You got one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Oh, we can take this group on the road. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I've seen this kind of experience, for example, in Zimbabwe, when a church gathered outside the government building when the government under Mugabe was robbing the people blind. There was cholera, and there were other kind of things, and they just came and sang in front of the government building. I've seen it in South Africa. Some places, it's not very... I didn't see it in Pakistan. That's a little bit dangerous. What they're doing in China is, Hong Kong, is extremely prophetic and dangerous. Don't be surprised if the tanks move in the next couple of weeks and we have a new Tiananmen Square. Maybe something that makes Tiananmen Square look like a picnic. It's not easy, but we have the freedom to do that, and we cannot let that voice go unheard. Okay, I'm going to end with a little bit nicer song, easier song. It's a South African music, but with a text by John Bell. God welcomes all strangers and friends. God's love is strong and will never end. Echo me. God welcomes all strangers and friends. God's love is strong and will never end. God's love is strong and will never... Now, I want to express appreciation because I didn't put the words in purposely. When, believe it or not, most people around the world learn through the ear. I'm not saying we shouldn't have the page. Don't get me wrong. That's not the point. It's just that there is a certain connection when people learn through the ear and they're looking up, and you have to try harder. So this isn't that hard. You're doing quite well. So just a little... Oral learning versus print. You're doing great. Hum along if you're not quite sure of the words first. You'll pick them up. God welcomes all strangers and friends. God's love is strong and will never. God welcomes strangers and friends. God's love is strong and will never. You're getting so good now, I think we got some harmony in that group someplace, okay? If you aren't sure if you have harmony, well, just sing the melody. And no, that's fine.
I bet we have some harmony. Here we go.
God welcomes all strangers and friends. God's love is strong and will never end.
Okay, now we're ready to use the song. There's an advantage for a song like this, it's short, is that we can also embody it. So I invite you to rise as you're able. You don't have to do any dancing, not do any clapping. Only thing I invite you to do is to live out the song and move around and shake some hands as you sing. If you feel like embracing, it's up to you, but I'll love
God welcomes all strangers and friends. God's love is strong and will never. God welcomes all strangers and friends. God's love is strong and will never. God welcomes all strangers and friends. God's love is strong and will never. God welcomes all strangers and friends. God's love is strong and one more time. God welcomes all strangers and friends. God's love is strong and will never. Amen.
Thank you, folks. Take the rest of the morning off.